Coming up on KUCB News, the state has released its plan to divvy up $50 million in federal pandemic payments to fishing industry workers. And KUCB's annual 24-hour pledge drive starts at midnight. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, October 8th, 2020. The state has released its plan to divvy up $50 million in federal pandemic payments to Alaska's fishing industry workers hard hit by COVID-19. Federal guidance suggested that the state should set aside more than half of the CARES Act funding for processors, about a third for commercial fishermen, and 5% for sport fishing guides and lodges. But in a draft released on Monday, the Department of Fish and Game proposes an even split between charter guides, the commercial fleet, and seafood processors at 32%. The state also proposes to set aside small pots of cash for subsistence and aquaculture, two groups that weren't included in the federal guidance at all. The boosts for charter guides, subsistence fishermen, and aquaculture have come largely at the expense of seafood processors. Processors command greater revenue, but have largely remained operating due to exemptions to travel restrictions for essential workforce. Plants have reported spending millions of dollars trying to keep their facilities free of the coronavirus. In a statement, the state agency says all sectors have been impacted by the pandemic, quote, whether it be reduced wholesale prices and reduction in demand due to economic shutdown, or sharp declines in tourism due to travel restrictions, end quote. Applicants for relief would need to document significant losses over the course of the pandemic compared to previous years. The agency is taking public comment on its plan until October 19th. Unalaska voters showed up to the polls on Tuesday to cast their votes in the island's municipal election. On the ballot were two contested races and two unopposed races. However, one of those unopposed races was challenged by a popular write-in candidate, and the final result was too close to count. KUCB's Maggie Nelson stopped by to hear about voters' experiences during the pandemic and to get a snapshot of what Election Day looked like on the island.
This year's Election Day in Unalaska was akin to what I imagine most election days have looked like in the past. There was light rain, accompanied with intermittent Aleutian gusts, and skies were mostly gray. But, like in most places, due to the threat of the COVID-19 pandemic, a few things made this Election Day stand out, namely a strong, sort of fruity, and sterile scent of hand sanitizer accompanying voters as they exited City Hall.
I mean, that's,
my hands smell good. You want to smell them?
Pretty much all of the voters I spoke with were comfortable with the precautionary measures, such as social distancing, masks, and of course sanitization, that came with this year's voting process.
It's good. I mean, it's fine. It's no problem. You know, we have to do what we have to do. It is what it is. So.
That was Bernadette Namasivayan. Like many other Unalaskans that shared their experience, she was glad to have the opportunity to exercise her right to vote, even if it meant doing it from under a mask. And she encouraged others to do so as well.
Well, I hope more people should come out and vote tonight. So, you know, it's the only chance. Do something. If you want changes, come out and vote. Right?
While on paper the added social distancing and health regulations may have appeared time-consuming, most voters said the process was painless and quick, and, like Namasivayan, worth the chance to make change.
Sanitize, and then the one you use the pen, put in the one place, no return, that's safe.
How long did it take you to vote?
A minute only.
That was Felipe La Forteza. He says city officials kept everything very clean, and he felt very safe voting in person, which he normally chooses to do. While he chose not to share all of the candidates he voted for, he says he supports Fernando Barrera for school board. Brett Richardson echoed La Fortesa's appreciation of the efficiency and cleanliness of the in-person voting process, as well as his support for Barrera. He says he voted for Dennis Robinson and Thomas Bell for the open city council positions and chose to write a candidate in for the other open school board seat. And he says, despite the pandemic, as long as it can be done safely, voting is an important practice.
We need to exercise our rights to be heard, when it seems like the world's falling down around us. That's probably the most important time to do so.
More than 420 people showed up at City Hall to vote on Tuesday. And while there are still 84 absentee and question ballots to be canvassed tomorrow morning, three of Unalaska's races were decided Tuesday night, but one was too close to call. Tune in to KUCB or Channel 8 TV tomorrow as we bring you the final results for Unalaska's municipal election. In Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
Brenda Baker!
Only one I remember. Fernando Barrera.
Oh, definitely Dennis Robinson. He's got great experience, showing some good leadership.
I hope they make changes.
Anthony, 2020.
Just glad we have a great turnout tonight.
This year, the FCC opened a window of opportunity for Native Americans to secure rights to their own wireless broadband networks. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, talks are underway of creating an intertribal network to improve internet connectivity in Southeast Alaska's villages.
Southeast Alaska tribes have few communities connected by road. And while the internet has helped bridge gaps from physical distances, it's often far from fast or reliable. That was on display this month when Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska held its 85th Tribal Assembly entirely online. Tribal Vice President Will Micklin says the COVID-19 pandemic made that necessary, but the digital divide was apparent.
It was a difficult connection for most of the villages outside of Sitka, Ketchikan, and Juneau.
Tlingit and Haida is among hundreds of tribal entities nationwide to apply for a special wireless spectrum license to fill gaps in communities underserved by commercial carriers.
We don't have a profit motive. Our motive is a delivery of service. I really view broadband as an inherent right for our tribal citizens, and that is made ever clearer to me by the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, where deficiencies in infrastructures became ever more apparent.
This year, the FCC made that possible by offering a spectrum for wireless broadband, such as 5G data service, to Native communities. Any unclaimed bandwidth will be auctioned off later to private carriers. Other tribes in Southeast are taking the same initiative. Huna Indian Association has a pending application with the FCC. Tribal Administrator Bob Starbard says it covers the tribal's traditional territory and even some neighbors.
Our plan is to use it to create a broadband network for all of the community residents of Huna and any of the other population center that's happened to fall within our territory.
That overlaps with Tlingit and Haida's application, but both tribes say they'd cooperate, not compete. The regional tribe has pledged not to overlap its services with local tribes. If a tie-in with a commercial carrier doesn't make sense for Huna, Starbard says there's talk of joining forces, as they'll all be on the same 2.5 gigahertz spectrum.
There's a joint effort within tribes that's being discussed with Tlingit and Haida Central Council and other tribes of some form of intertribal network.
But first, the FCC will need to issue the licenses. And when it does, hundreds of tribes across the U.S. are expected to have a unique opportunity to fill gaps in connectivity in underserved areas, which describes most of rural Alaska. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The Kowalungan Tribe of Unalaska applied for the federal grant in late July. KUCB's annual 24-hour pledge drive starts at midnight. Here at KUCB, we have been working extra hard to bring you reliable, timely, and local news and entertainment. While the coronavirus pandemic has highlighted the essential role public radio plays in uniting the community, it has also made producing news and entertainment particularly challenging. We want to continue bringing Unalaskans together through local programming and news you can trust. In order to do that, KUCB needs your support. Tomorrow's Pledge Drive is a chance to tune in to 89.7 FM or Channel 8 TV, listen to fellow community members live on air, and support your local radio station. The one-day Pledge Drive will take place tomorrow from 12 a.m. to 11:59 p.m. This year, we are hoping to raise $35,000. Pledge Drive thank you gifts will be given based on contribution amount. Gifts and drawings range from 5 gigabytes to 100 gigabyte Optumera Wi-Fi cards, new KUCB sweatshirts, and an Alaska Airlines plane ticket. In order to follow local COVID-19 health mandates, KUCB will not be open to the public during the Pledge Drive, but community members are encouraged to call in and donate anytime on Friday at 581-1888. You can also donate online at kucb.org. Thank you gifts, including new sweatshirts, will be available for pickup during our curbside pickup events happening October 16th and 23rd. And we are also hosting a virtual wear and share event. Tomorrow, sport your vintage KUCB gear, post a picture on social media, and tag us at kucb.unalaska to be entered into a drawing for a 5 gigabyte Optumera Wi-Fi card. Find more information at kucb.org. And just to be aware, we will be going off the air at 12:30 today for about 15 to 30 minutes in order to realign equipment on Haystack. We apologize for any inconvenience. And stay tuned for an episode of Foggy Island Discs, where we ask Unalaskans what 5 songs they'd choose if they were stranded on a Bering Sea island. Today, we're hearing from Josh Good. That's up after the Unungan Word of the Day and NPR News. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.